Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, and God said, who said? And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Say over all the earth. Say again, say over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Amen. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Say dominion. It is a commandment of God that we take dominion. And in a family dynamic, it is the same principle. It is a commandment from God because this was the first establishment of family. Are you guys with me? Can I have an amen? Are you awake tonight? God is about to bring restoration. God is about to bring healing. God is about to uplift. I'm telling you on this night that even for those connecting over live stream, that God is about to take every family, every member of every family, and lift it up. You're about to be placed upon the holy mountain of the Lord, where every family is about to be covered by the glory of God, and where you will continually experience a flow of His fire and of His presence and of His anointing. I'm telling you that whatever territory that the enemy came in and that he stole, that the enemy is about to lose everything that he has taken from you. Restoration is about to take place. At least get a little bit excited about that. Amen. If I call you and I tell you you've just won the lottery, how will you react? Oh no, come on, you're not just going to sit like that or stand like that. I guarantee you, if I tell you that you've just won the lottery, you will go crazy. But you have won a spiritual lottery. Because He died on the cross for you. And you've received a gift that is the most precious gift that you could ever ask for. And that is the gift of His presence. And it's the gift of His Spirit. Listen, encounter, get excited about something. You have been set free. Condemnation has been removed from you. Your ledger has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And you've been set free. Amen. Just want to stir you up a bit for this message that we're about to get into. Say dominion. Say again, say dominion. It is a commandment from God that we go and that we take dominion. In a family setting, it is very important that we do exactly the same thing, that we continually go and that we take dominion. Are you ready to take dominion as a family? After the message this morning, I made the statement where I said that many, even those connecting over live stream, will say that, you know what, Pastor Martin, I hear you, but this thing is beyond repair. Too much was said, too much was done, and this thing is just beyond repair. But I'm going to prove you wrong in this night. You see, at Encounter Church, we strive for restoration. We always go for restoration. And I've stated this many times before, that many people have come to us in the past that wanted to get divorced. And they said, we need your help through this process. And we said, no. We're first going to fight for this family. We're going to fight for restoration. Just give us the space. Just give us an opportunity. Just give God the opportunity to intervene. Just give His Spirit the chance to come in and to bring a restoration. God is in the restoration business. And we will always go for restoration. We will always go for restoration. And restoration is your portion even in this night. Your restoration has already started this morning. Are you guys with me? And so, the obvious place to go for the message that I want to flow, and I just want to take one passage of scripture, break it open verse by verse, and take out of it what I feel God have given me. Are you guys with me? And that is the story of Nehemiah. Now, we all know the story of Nehemiah. And you might think, but how can I take a family message out of that story? I'm going to show you, and it is going to change your life. Are you guys with me? Put on the screen for me, Nehemiah chapter 2. Not Nehemiah. And let's start from verse 1. But now, I just quickly want to give you a little bit of background on this story. This is a story of a nation that have sinned against God. And they have moved away from His Word. They have departed from the Word of God. And as a result, they were taken into 70 years of captivity, leaving the once glorious city of Jerusalem in nothing but ruins. Are you guys with me? And so this nation at this moment, where we're going to start with the story, is completely destroyed. And the city Jerusalem was completely conquered by Babylon at this stage, leaving the city of Jerusalem, the temple of Solomon and the walls of Jerusalem, in complete and utter ruins. It's completely destroyed. Are you guys with me? And so in this instance tonight, I want you to see this in the family setting. For Jerusalem in this instance represents many broken down families that once have started off good, but through many trials, through many errors, through many mistakes, find themselves now in ruin, thinking that it is impossible to restore the once glorious family that it used to be. Are you guys with me? Now, many might be thinking that, listen, too much have been said, too much have been done. Too much of this, too much harm that have been done, too many mistakes has been made, and this thing is just beyond repair. But what I want to tell you on this night, that it's never too late. It is never too late to fight for your family. It is never too late to take the broken pieces and to pick it up again and to bring restoration into your family dynamic, into the family setting, into your household. I'm telling you that again. I state again that God is in the restoration business. He is in the restoration business. Listen, there is a word that is going out over you tonight, Encounter. There's a word going out over you tonight, Encounter. For I'm telling you that if you can set your hearts to understanding, if you can commit your heart to bring restoration, if you can commit yourself and say, my God, I'm going to fight for this thing. I'm going to take up the pieces and I will not give in. I will not give up. And that I will not give out. I guarantee you that God will work with you and that He will fight for you on your behalf to give you victory. I guarantee it. For the Bible says, and thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I'm telling you in this night, Encounter, do not fear. Do not let that situation, do not let your circumstance bring fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name, says the Lord God Almighty. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall this flame kindle upon you. I am telling you this night, Encounter, if you can commit your heart to stand up for what is right, set your heart to understanding, and cause God to become the mediator, you will see restoration. You will see deliverance. I prophesy it. I loosen this over every family member, over every family member in this night, in the name of Jesus. Mark my words, a turnaround is on the way. Amen. I feel God's presence so strong on this topic. It is something so close to my heart. You know, when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, the Bible said that everyone, almost, not everyone, most of the people from that city and from that region were deported to Babylon, leaving the city with the potential to end up like many ancient cities. Completely forgotten. Now this is exactly, I haven't even started, but just give me a moment. This is exactly what the enemy does. If I don't get into the message, I'm just flowing. He comes in with many lies and deceptions and suggestions. And we fall for the trap, many. And we voice our disagreements. And this causes nothing but chaos, disorder, strife, and disunity in the family setting. And as a result, the family member slowly but surely starts to drift apart, leaving what was once beautiful as a distant memory. Are you guys with me? I guarantee you this, that many times when you feel something come up in your mind, you see, the enemy works like this. He will plant a suggestion and he will create a scenario to back up the thought that he's about to plant, so that when you have the thought, you're going to think, yeah, see, it is happening. He's doing that. Yes, look, she's doing that. And then you rock up and you say, hey, why are you doing this? And I guarantee 90% of the time, your spouse will respond saying, you know what, I didn't mean it like that. Come on now. This is something very real. You see, right from the beginning, even before encounter, even before prophet, even before I was really saved, between Pastor me and myself, we had certain boundaries set in place. And those boundaries stated that we will never break down one another's character. We will never lift our voice towards one another. We will never cuss. We will never curse. The moment you cross that boundary, you are busy breaking trust. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. The moment you cross that boundary, you have moved outside of God's hierarchy. As I have explained this morning, you have moved outside of His divine design for the family setting. And when that flood comes, it will cause destruction because you're not standing where you're supposed to be standing. These boundaries are so important. Never climb into one another's character, ever. Never get to a position where you lose your temper and you start cursing and cussing one another. It's crossing the line. Don't go there. Amen. This is exactly what the enemy does. Distant memories. And we forget why we started off in the first place. Are you guys with me? I want to tell you on this night that God did not forget. He did not forget. He did not forget. The children of Israel cried out. And I thought that God forgot. But in the meantime, someone was having divine communication with the Almighty. And they did not know that their restoration was on the way. They thought they were going to die here. They were in captivity in Egypt. They were about to be, listen, they were slaves being tortured, oppressed every single day of their lives. They thought, this is our life. We're going to die like this. Not knowing that feeling even like that, that someone was having divine communication with the Almighty God as Moses was having a burning bush experience. And God said that, listen, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people and that I have remembered them and that I need you to go back and to go set them free. I want to tell you on this night encounter that God did not forget. God did not forget about you. He's still seeing you. He's still seeing your family. He did not forget. He has heard your cry. I'm telling you on this night encounter, do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up, because He's seeing you. He's hearing you. Your cries has not gone unnoticed. He has seen every tear. He has seen every problem. He has heard every prayer. I'm telling you that someone is having divine communication with the Almighty, and that your restoration and that your turnaround is on the way. Just do not lose hope. Do not lose courage. Keep on fighting. Stand strong. It is not all for nothing. Restoration is on the way. Are you guys with me? And then the Bible says that when the Jews were deported to Babylon, they began to make homes for themselves there. Are you guys with me? They settled down in Babylon, many still following the God of their fathers, but without any desire is the word that I'm looking for. Without any desire to go back to the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you guys with me? Many of you sitting here tonight, and many even connecting over live stream, you have adjusted your very way of life, of living, accommodating situations and circumstances that were never yours to accommodate, that were never meant to be, and you think that it's just a hand that I've been dealt with. This is just life. Oh, well, this is, how many times we do not speak like, well, this is life. And I'm going to use the statement that the world actually uses. You know, life happens. Amen. And many times we speak so negatively. Many have given up thinking that things have gone too far and that, listen, this thing is just beyond repair, with no desire in the inside of them to make things right, simply because they have lost hope. And they've developed a what's the point attitude. Amen? What's the point? I've lost hope. And exactly there, the enemy has got you exactly where he wants you. I've stated many times before that if I, you can be caught up in drugs and alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sins of the flesh. And I'm not saying that it's not easy dealing with these things. It's not. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. But there's always hope. You will always find that a drug addict, every time that he relapses, he will what do? He will cry out, say, God, I'm so sorry. Why? Because you know there's hope. But you know what? There's nothing that quite kills like condemnation. That's the worst thing that you can deal with, is being condemned. Why? Because condemnation removes hope. Thinking that there's no way out of this, it's exactly where the enemy wants you. I want to encourage you tonight to shake that thing off. It's not of God. It's never too late. There is hope. I'm telling you this night that there is hope. There is hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. The hope of glory. Come on. The Bible says, for even my mystery, says Jesus Christ, my mystery, which have been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is hope encountered. It is not too late. It is never too late. Are you guys with me? Are you ready to fight in this night? Encounter. Are you ready to fight in this night? Amen. Now the Bible says that after 70 years of captivity, they were given the opportunity to return back to the promised land. I'm telling you that even in this night, that you have been given an opportunity. An opportunity that will present itself in a life-changing moment. There's a turnaround that is about to take place in your life. There is a turnaround that is about to take place in your family. There is a turnaround. You're given the opportunity to bring restoration, where healing is about to manifest in your life. And because of you, even if you're sitting here tonight, you're saying that, my husband is not here. I don't know what to do. My wife is not yet. I don't know what to do. Tonight you will stand in the gap as an intercessor. Tonight you will stand in the gap. And on your behalf, your family will receive deliverance. Even if your family is complete, I'm speaking about you as a husband and a wife and children. But your brothers and your sisters, I'm speaking about immediate family. And you know that, listen, their lives are destroyed. By being divorced all over, and the enemy is just having his way in my family. I'm speaking about uncles, aunts, your brothers, your sisters. Tonight, encounter, you will stand in the gap, even for them, and that you will become a template of what a godly marriage should look like, and that his life will flow through you as a family, and it will touch every family around you, bringing healing, bringing restoration, bringing deliverance. And glory will be turned back to God. This is not just about you. Are you guys with me? Amen. So let's get into the message. I'm going to share with you keys on how to fight effectively for your family. I haven't given you anything yet. I just spoke to you now. How to fight effectively for your... Are you ready to fight? Come on, you're in a war. You're in a battle. And I explained this morning that families are the second most important components in the hierarchy of God. God places high emphasis and high importance when it comes to family. You should not do any less. Are you ready to fight in this battle that you are caught up in? Are you ready to fight? Encounter, I don't know. Listen, I want to tell you this night that you're going to receive a special armor. You will be dressed to kill, clothed for war. And you're about to take back what rightfully belongs to you. But I don't know, I'm speaking to people that seems too lazy to get up. Say, ah, no, it's no use. May God show up and show you difference. And may you see restoration. Amen. Oh, I've seen this thing taking place so many times. I get excited about this. Amen. Okay, point number one. Just quickly going to run through this. I've got 5 minutes. Point number one. Let's see. Restoration starts in your hearts. If you want restoration in your family, it is going to start in your own hearts. Say, restoration starts in my heart. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. New King James. And it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine. This is now Nehemiah speaking here, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Verse 2, therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Let's just quickly stop there. So I became dreadfully afraid. Listen, the restoration of his nation was such a pressing matter on his heart that he even risked his life being sad in the presence of the king. Now you need to understand the severity of the situation here. It was an offense punishable by death if you make the king feel uncomfortable. Here we've got Nehemiah, and he's the cupbearer, and he's presenting wine before the king, and he's sad. This could have been taken up as an insult. And it can cost you your life. And that is why the Bible says that when Nehemiah saw that the king took note of the state of his countenance, he became dreadfully afraid, because he knew that, listen, this can cost me my life. Are you guys with me? And so in the same way, but now if you backtrack a bit, you need to understand that Nehemiah prayed and that he fasted so that the favor of God will be upon his life, so that when he presents his case to the king, that he will have favor with the king. Are you guys with me? And so, in the same way, the restoration and the healing for your family will start by a desperation that burns in your heart. It needs to become such a pressing matter on your heart that it will drive you to your knees. Will you present this matter before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods, our Savior Jesus Christ, the only one that can turn something that looks impossible into something that is possible? Are you guys with me? Tonight's encounter, you will see something take place. I just need to get through these points quickly. Second key, honesty. Say honesty. Say again, say honesty. This is something that I have seen lacking in many families. Is it okay if I speak like I speak? Is it okay if I speak openly? I mean, this is something that I've seen firsthand, lacking in many families. Say honesty. Verse 3. And said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Listen, here we can see that irrespective of the severity of the situation, Nehemiah was not only wise, but he was honest. Are you guys with me? Say honesty. You see, many times you will find in the family setting, on the family dynamic, you will find someone that is depressed. They're down. Come on. In a family, you know. when my son is done, I just know something is not right. Without him saying anything, I just know something is off. Something is not lekker. Are you guys with me? And then we will ask, are you okay? Just to get the all familiar response. And no, I'm fine. When in fact, it is not. Are you guys with me? This response is due to previous times that someone in the family tried to reach out and speak, but they were cut off. The information that was shared was taken lightly. They were kind of brushed off with the attitude of, let's just get over it. Come on now. Amen. That kind of boys don't cry attitude. Shake it off. But did you die? It was just a joke. That was just a joke. Amen. Listen, I wanna, this is really important. When your children comes to you, husbands, when your wife come to you, wives, when your husband come to you, leave what you're busy with. Listen intently to what they are saying. And receive the information with maturity. And respond correctly. Are you guys with me? Amen. For a man, it is very difficult to show emotion. So that one time when he comes and he rocks up and he's vulnerable, and by the grace of God, he has gotten together the courage to actually say something about his feelings. And you as a wife respond incorrectly because of immaturity. I guarantee you that that man will be cut off and will never, ever open up ever again. Not just towards you, but towards anyone. So your immaturity will cause even that man not being able to open up towards God. It takes one incident, one moment. It is like trust. Trust is built over years, but it can be broken in a second. It is the same thing with this. Are you guys with me? Place high value. Listen, honesty means this. Honesty means that I trust the one that I'm about to speak to. I trust the one with the information that I'm about to share. I trust that they will receive it in a mature level. And that they will respond correctly. Because many times when I want to speak, it is not always going to be something good. Maybe I am irritated. Maybe I am frustrated. And maybe I am agitated. Maybe I did perceive something incorrectly. And I'm going to come to you and I say that, listen, this bothers me. Why are you doing this? And then I do not need you to act immaturely. But to understand that, listen, when I come forth like almost like I'm attacking, I hope that I'm here. I want you to hear me in context. That there's something more behind the scenes. That it's not about you. And if you can learn how to listen, both sides, husband and wives, even with children, and if you can learn to listen, you are being given very important information. Meaning the moment someone comes and speaks to you, the power is in your hands. You cannot make or break that individual with what you have. Are you guys with me? Correct communication is of the utmost importance in a family setting. I'm not saying that you should go and abuse, scream, yell, curse, cuss, climb into one another's. I'm not saying that. There's a way to speak. I've just stated that I've never raised my voice, not once, up until this day, I've never once raised my voice towards my wife. Not once. Have I felt frustrated? Oh, yes. Agitated? Oh, yes. Irritated? There's a way to speak. Control your emotions. you are in control of it. Do not give that key to your emotions to the enemy. Do not give that authority to the enemy. That authority is in your hands, and what you do with it, it is up to you. I've explained this morning that Adam came and he said that, listen, no, this wife that you've given me. And the authority was then passed over to the wife. And that was the first moment that God actually spoke to the woman. Eve, what did you do? And then Eve also said, no, no, the serpent, not me, the serpent, deceived me. And authority was given to the enemy. Are you guys with me? But that authority was now given back to you. And what you do with it is up to you. Are you guys with me? Amen. Take back what belongs to you. Listen, please understand that wisdom comes in with what you share. Listen to me. Wisdom comes in with what you share and how you share it and with whom you share it with. Because we will have people that run around to every second person discussing their problems with every second person. It's the worst thing that you can do is to run to every second person and to explain, you know what, I'm going through this. You know what I'm dealing with? And you go to the second, another person. You know what, I'm dealing with this. That will cause much more harm and destruction. Please don't do that. This is not everything was meant to be shared with your spouse. I don't know. Now people are going to like. Not everything is meant to be shared with your spouse. This is where the circle of counsel comes in. Are you guys with me? Find a trustworthy source that can give you godly, good, pure, godly counsel. And even in this, you must always do it with a mindset that I am in the process of restoration. The way that you handle your communication at this stage is critical. It will either cause success or failure. Are you guys with me? Amen. Point number three. Do not waste opportunities. Then the king said, verse 4. Just quickly, verse 4. Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Verse 6. And then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Amen. So at this time, Nehemiah knew that God's hand was upon him and that he had found favor with the king, and he did not want to miss out on this opportunity. He acted immediately. I want to tell you on this night that when the opportunity presents itself to make right, when the opportunity presents itself to apologize, when the opportunity presents itself to bring restoration, act immediately, because the opportunity might not present itself ever again. Let your pride go. Lay down your pride. Sometimes you have to be the one to go and say, you know what, I was wrong. And I'm sorry. But let's bring restoration. Let's speak about this thing. Are you guys with me? Are you ready to fight tonight in counsel? Don't miss opportunities where you can tell your husband that you love him. Don't miss opportunities where you can tell your wife that you love her. Don't miss the opportunities where you can affirm your sons and your daughters. Affirmation is a very powerful force. Say affirmation. Never underestimate the power of affirmation. It will go a very long way. Are you guys with me? And this is something that I've applied even before encounter. It's just principles by the grace of God that God have imprinted into me. I will continue to tell my son, I'm so proud of you. Well done. Well done. Are you guys with me? Affirmation will go a very long way. Say affirmation. Do not miss this opportunity. It's wasted opportunities that have added to the confusion, to the discord, to the mess in the first place. Amen. Do not waste opportunities. Point number four, just quickly. Make your request known to God. I don't have time to really get into that now, but point number five, I'm just going to give you the points quickly. Expect resistance and accusation. Expect resistance and accusations. Nehemiah chapter 4, just very quickly, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Verse 2, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burnt? Verse 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they built, even if even a fox goes up against it, he will break it down, he will break down their stone wall. Don't think that as you're engaged in this battle that you will not face resistance. That is why it's called a battle, because you're about to face resistance. Are you guys with me? It is called a battle because you are about to face resistance. I can tell you, the moment that the enemy sees that you have committed your heart to set your house back into order, oh, the moment, I guarantee it. How many of you can say, the moment I came onto salvation, it's like, Lord, you tricked me into this. All hell broke loose. What is going on? Come on. And it's even worse when you set your heart to commit yourself to bring restoration in your household, to set your house back in order. I guarantee you that you will face and experience great resistance like never before. Listen, the enemy will attack you, come with suggestions, reminding of your past. It will remind you of your past mistakes and your failures. But you've said this, you've done that. It will even remind your spouse to attack you, saying, but you've done that. Who are you not to come and preach to me? You will face resistance. Are you guys with me? And you will think that your effort in bringing restoration yet again will only but fail. It will not work. They said to one another, will they revive these stones? I will close over this. I've got much more, but let me close over this. Will they revive these stones? I want to tell you that the moment that you set your heart to understanding, the moment that you commit yourself in bringing restoration, that God will be the one and He will work with you. Encounter, I'm telling you that even in this night, that families are about to experience revival like never before. And revival is about to break out in families. And from without families, it will start to flow to those around them. And revival will go to them as well. And will spread like a holy fire. Are you ready to take up a stand in this night? Are you ready to take up a stand in this night? I said this morning, and even those connecting over live stream, let me not just, otherwise I'm going to continue. I can speak on this thing for hours. I said this morning, it is the husband's job to bring the family to church. Make sure you bring your family to church. It's your responsibility. It is the husband's job to pray first. Your family must see and hear you pray. It is the husband's job to worship first. Your family must see you do it. You, the husbands and the fathers, those are the ones that must lead by example, and the family must follow. By doing this, you will bring your family under the authority of God. By doing this, you will bring your family under the word of God. By doing this, you will bring your family under a divine substance, under a holy substance. And as a result, a revival will break out. I prophesy it in this night. By the mantle and the anointing that is upon this house, I prophesy in this night that families will experience a revival. But everything in every family have died that is of God will be resuscitated. Life will come back and revival will take place. I loosen this from a heavenly perspective, even in this night, in the name of Jesus.